Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores. I'm here with Peter Raber.
I'm back.
We have essentially traded out people. We traded you for Brian.
Yeah, apparently whatever this viral thing is that's going around, strep, viral, COVID nonsense, it's taking people out left and right. So it got me last week and got him this week.
Yeah, we just didn't even trade. We just said, even, here we go.
You guys are probably better off without me anyway. Although I did notice in the podcast that you guys at one point said, yeah, this is normally where we'd let Peter just fill dead space.
Yeah. We did.
They'll talk about something.
We did. It was with the Chinese balloon.
Yeah, I know too much about that too.
Yeah, we. That's what we said on that. We were like, yeah, this is normally the part where we would just let Peter dredge on about something.
You know, that is a fascinating story. It really was, the fact that we shoot these things down.
So, okay, let's just do it then. Chinese balloon. I feel like that was our bad. We shouldn't have dove into that without you here, because this does seem like something you would know a little bit about. So let's just get it out of the way.
It's one of those things that we're looking for them now. So that's been what I've understood, because we shot down the first one, then we shot down like four more between us and Canada. And what the problem was is we were only looking above 60,000 feet. Mm-hmm. So then once we found one the size of a bus below 60,000 feet, and we did jam its radio transmissions as it crossed the United States. They shot it off the coast of Myrtle Beach so they would land in the ocean, as opposed to on somebody's barn. But then apparently we dropped our surveillance down to everything above 20,000 feet. And functionally, everything that could possibly be out there that we've never perceived as a threat, we were starting to see. So it's kind of like when you pull back the microscope a little bit and you see everything that you hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to figure out why we can't just capture these things. So like we identify something, it doesn't send back a signal. It could just be a, you know, old weather thing, you know, domestically that's just out there in space.
I don't feel like I would shoot them. I would just capture them.
Yeah.
Just get it and bring it down. Let's poke around on it.
That's been part of the problem is they've shot them down intentionally over water a lot of times or in remote places, which makes the recovery a hard time.
Right.
But they'll get it. But I did see one NSA agent basically saying, not that China doesn't have other technology that's out there, but if this is it, they're using 80s technology.
Wow.
So maybe it's a good thing.
I thought that too, about the recovery, whenever they shot it over the ocean, which I get, I understand.
Yeah.
But it does seem like it would be hard to know what's sank all the way.
Yeah. You would think
the SD cards all the way at the bottom of the ocean.
Navy divers will have fun with that one. I did see where the meme that was going around with the Goodyear blimp that said we're not spying on the side of it. Yeah, so
that was so funny.
If nothing else, we'll get good memes out of it.
Yeah, I saw one with the blimp too. It said, I can't remember it verbatim, but it said something like, you just wait, China. It was so funny. I was like, yeah, that looks like something we would do. It's appropriate it was a meme over here.
Oh, yeah, we'll immediately turn things into memes. So,
well, we got that out of the way. It's obviously bizarre and weird.
Well, you know, it might be one of those things like shark attacks. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's a bad shark attack, all you have in the news for the next month is sharks seen off the coast of wherever.
Right.
And then you go and look at the statistics and it's like, yeah, less people died by shark this year than the year before or whatever it is. So maybe it's just where the national conscience is right now and we're looking for it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and apologize because I can't breathe. So if I sneeze, cough, hawk something up, it's not on purpose. I'm not trying to be funny. I just literally can't breathe. I took a hit of Flonase before you came in here. So hopefully that'll
clear it up.
That'll help. But it's 80 degrees today.
We're in that false winter, false spring, whatever it is.
It's so silly. And I looked at the weather this morning, and it's supposed to be warm for like a week or two.
Yeah, which will be great for us to get the building moving a little bit. Yeah, apparently California is going to get slammed with snow.
What?
Yeah, it's just weather patterns are changing for sure. But we're
is this one of the signs?
Yeah. There's always signs.
Yeah.
There's a great song. I forget. It's called The Beginning, but I'm trying to remember the artist's name. But it basically it's going on and on about how it's always the end of days. But maybe it's just the beginning type thing.
That's deep.
It's a heavy song, but it's good. But, we're always looking for these things that the world's collapsing on us. And it feels like we're getting more and more of those. And, mm-hmm. And I did want to take a second and just, obviously anybody out there who can do things for the people affected in Turkey and Syria, make sure you're doing those things and donating where you can. And, they got hit by that second, earthquake. It definitely is time for, people to step up and make a difference where they can.
I've never been involved in an earthquake, but I feel like it would be very unsettling in more ways than one.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I was listening to some interviews and people were just like, I lost 5 people in that building and I lost 2 people over there. And, one of these massive ones. And of course, in Turkey and Syria, the infrastructure isn't designed to the levels that we have.
Yeah, it's
here.
Not nearly as advanced.
And so, it just leveled towns. Mm. The closest thing that I guess we've ever really been involved with was when those tornadoes ripped through here and destroyed a large portion of like Glade Springs and stuff like that, and you just sit there and go, where's the sense in that level of destruction? But it's unreal. I couldn't imagine being in an actual earthquake. Fortunately, that's one of the nice things about our little neck of the woods. We don't get the extreme weather for the most part.
Yeah, we don't have to deal with much, and when it does come, it's sporadic.
Well, it's hard to transition away from death and destruction within Turkey and Syria. It's just one of those things that we're normally more focused on what's going on here at home.
Yeah.
And things here we've had a good start to the year as far as markets. Now we've sold off a little bit here the last couple of weeks.
Let's hit on that for a second, because I think that any kind of good news is great news probably for folks when it comes to the market. So we're halfway, or no, I guess we're almost toward the end of February now.
Right.
How have things looked the past couple months?
We've seen a significant rally in the equity markets. Now, it's been in the names that got hurt the worst last year.
Hmm.
So, you've got some names that haven't moved at all, but we have rebounded heavily in some of the tech sector that got, hit really hard. And a lot of that has been on the back of the idea that inflation is slowing. Not that we're going to see a return to the prices that we had, but that we're not going to be inflating at the same rate. So we actually did see used car prices come down, which is the first time in over a year where used car prices have come down. And so the hope was that the Federal Reserve would be ending their cycle of raising interest rates and with maybe one more 25 basis point raise. But then we ran into here in this last week, and why we've seen the market sell off here just this last week is we had 500,000 jobs added in January, which is a great thing. But that means those are 500,000 people who are spending money, which has the potential to have more inflation. We had really strong retail sales, which normally really good thing, but good news is bad news type thing.
Yeah.
And so we've had a couple of those type reports that have really led into the market being worried that, well, maybe we've got 2 more rate hikes, or maybe we have a 50 basis point rate hike next time. And so people are starting to take a little bit of the money off the table. And because there's places to invest it right now, like you can get a 1-month CD at 4.1% now, 4.2-ish, depending upon the bank, there's an alternative. So when you came out of the stock market anytime really in the last 8 years, you sat in cash earning nothing. Now you can sit on the sideline and earn something.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a headwind, I think, this whole year.
Well, hopefully that continues.
Things are looking good. It's one of those things. Everybody I've talked to, I've talked about the fact it's third year of a presidential cycle, traditionally positive. It's split government, traditionally positive for the market, bad for the country. Rebound off a bad year. Earnings have been good. All the things are lining up for a good year. But then you sit there with Russia, Ukraine, and China, Taiwan, and all the other big things, the debt ceiling debate. All that type stuff is getting in the way. But if we were just looking at what companies are doing, they're positioning themselves to do well.
Yeah. And I wonder sometimes when you talk about things like, the folks who got hit hard last year, but they're up this year. So it's like, are they really up, or are they just back to like level playing field from where they were at last year?
It's hard to say, and a lot of people's portfolios, obviously everybody's different. But what I go back to for a lot of our clients is in February of 2020, right before the pandemic, would you be happy with where we're at now if you didn't know the extreme low that we were going to get to, selling off 30%, and the extreme high that we were going to get to in 2021? So I was working with one client earlier, and their five-year numbers were great. They had annualized double digits. But last year, they were down 27%. They were rightfully so really upset about being down last year that much. But they had the risk in their portfolio to enable them to have a lot of growth. And I think sometimes we get blinded by what our high watermark was, even if we only hit it for a brief period of time.
Yeah, I could see that.
And so there's the feeling that I've lost all this money when we have these down markets. And it's not that you haven't. If you had cashed out at the top, you would have had that dollar amount. So I can't blame somebody for feeling that way. But if we step back a little bit and say, if I could tell you that we're going to go, through a pandemic, and we're going to see the Federal Reserve raise rates in an unprecedented manner, and you're still going to be positive in your portfolio over the last 3 years, would you be okay with that? And most people on the front end would have said yes.
Yeah, I feel like that's a yes right there.
Yeah. But the problem is we're down a lot from where we had gotten to, but we probably shouldn't have gotten to there to begin with. There was and markets are like that. The irrational exuberance, it's made up of humans. So we make errors. And, collectively, I think we drove the stock market too high in 2021. And now we're getting back probably to where we should be.
We're humans. And this is a majority controlled by humans. And along with that comes human error. So.
Right. I mean, you look at a stock like Eastman last year. And Eastman's earnings per share dropped. So the amount of dollars they earned per shares that were out in the world dropped. No question.
Yeah.
They earned more money, though, than the year they did before. And their stock dropped, 40%?
Which is kind of crazy.
Right. So normally things like that don't happen. Yes, you get hit, but not to the extremes that we got hit last year. Mm-hmm. And so the hope for this year is that we moderate that. And then the other thing is, we're very tied to calendar year returns. What happened in 2022? What happened in 2021?
Yeah.
Well, if you cut out the tail end of 2021 when we had a massive spike higher and we ended on a high, mid-year 2021 to mid-year 2022 doesn't look that bad. And so it's
so
psychology.
So you're saying if folks didn't actually follow set calendar, but they had their own fiscal calendar,
right,
personally,
it could feel completely different.
Yeah, different reaction, different feeling. I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah,
I would imagine most people though are thinking, January,
right,
to December.
And like COVID would be a really good example of that. And companies all over the world have different fiscal time periods.
Right.
But if your year ended in March of 2020, you ended at the base of the pandemic sell-off.
Mm. Yeah.
Now your next year, you had a tremendous return. So it's a little bit of, did we have the right plan in place? Were we aware that this is something that could happen?
Right.
And having the perspective of, am I still on track to make my long-term goals that I made a few years ago?
Well, so moving forward, after we're getting out of a pandemic and which I guess we're still feeling a little bit of the shocks from, but after getting out of a pandemic, I think there's two ways of thinking, and I want your opinion on this when it comes to thinking through your portfolio. So some people might think, oh, well, pandemic's over, probably won't be anything that crazy again right. in a while, so let's get with it. Or people are a totally flip side thinking, you know, that was really rough.
If I got back to break even.
Yeah, or like the next thing's right around the corner, I just know it type deal. So how do you, from your point of view, how do you manage those kind of two different ways of thinking? Because it seems like those are very polar opposite.
They are. And it's our job as advisors to help moderate both of those.
Yeah.
You know, and keep our eye on the end goal. And so, you know, a lot of times I equate the break-even people to, you know, it's the classic character, you know, of, you know, the plane's going down. Lord, if you save me, I'm never, you know, going to cheat on my wife again or whatever it is, you know. And if I could just get back to break-even, then you get back to break-even and you still have to live your life. You still need yeah. to earn money. You still have to meet your retirement goals. And so the people who are that way, you know, we've got to move them from being so conservative to having the appropriate level of risk for them. Because if you're still 40 and you sit in cash, you know, you could dramatically be hurting yourself. You actually have a different risk. And so it's just pointing that out to people and saying, you know, if we do this, that means this is what your retirement looks like, which may not be what you want. And the flip side of nothing crazy can be as bad as the pandemic, you know, those kind of equate to, you know, well, I can't lose, you know, red's come up on the roulette wheel 12 times in a row. It's got to be red this time, and then all of a sudden it's not. So, you know, that's where that Russia, Ukraine, China, Taiwan type events or the one that we're not expecting that just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Bringing that risk back and saying, do we need to take that level of risk to get you where you want to be?
Yeah.
And so I had that conversation with someone, you know, just here within the last 2 weeks of everything about their setup said they could take more risk. But when we started talking about what they wanted out of life, they didn't need to. You know, so they could have suboptimal returns. They could be okay with a 5% return.
So that's literally the definition of why risk it.
Why risk it?
Yeah.
You know, and there's reasons to. But especially with the craziness that we live in now, maybe we don't, you know, but we have to agree to that up front because I don't want to be a year down the road and that person be unhappy because everybody else is earning these tremendous returns.
Yeah.
And we chose to be conservative.
Right.
So it's just having the conversation and making sure that, yeah, I heard what you said and you're hearing what I'm saying and that means this.
Yeah, it's good to get that clarification. I could see how people would be upset down the road. I mean, everyone looking back, if they're missing out on something, they're usually upset in some way, shape, or form.
Well, how many people did we see getting upset when we weren't participating in the Bitcoin rally, right?
Yeah.
You know, why aren't you in Bitcoin? Why, you know, what should I be doing? You know, I'm missing out. And then you watch Bitcoin drop in two-thirds.
Yeah.
And $1 or $2 trillion just evaporate. You know, and it's that's our job is to be that voice of reason.
Right.
And I think that's where we actually provide the value, not necessarily saying you should buy Disney versus Apple. It's
well, and
you should own stocks or not, or you should be here or there in general.
Yeah. Well, and two, if, you know, that trend becomes a very normal reality, then obviously that's something we can, you know, dive into a little bit. But it's hard to give sound advice on theories and what-ifs.
What-ifs.
Yeah. So,
well, and those trend lines go out forever. Like, if you take one of these things and take it all the way out, you know, it gets scary. Yeah. You know, we're seeing that in AI right now. You know, if you go all the way out that line, you know, humans are irrelevant. Well, should I invest in anything if that's the case, you know?
We're kind of getting there. That's kind of the, and that's scary for me because I feel like automated anything is moving the direction of humans are irrelevant, whether it be thinking, labor, just anything. And that's scary.
I think it's something that we're probably old enough that we're okay, right?
Yeah.
Our kids, I do have that concern for. And mostly, you know, it will come in waves. But as we take bigger and bigger portions of our population and say, there's nothing for you that a computer can't do cheaper, better, faster, you know, what do you do with that portion of the population to keep them literally from having unrest and rising up and everything else? And that's going to be a big, big concern.
That's crazy. And I think about that stuff all the time. I guess it's because I have a younger child and thinking through all that. But
I mean, maybe we send them to Mars. I don't know.
Yeah, but there is in a lot of different professions and industries, automation's kind of the front runner with a lot of that stuff. And
I mean, we see it in ours.
And you got to think, you know, the people, the population's not going to go away. If anything, it's probably going to grow at a steady pace. And if the need for jobs are declining at a steady pace, that's going to be scary.
Well, and we've not seen this, but you could legitimately see this happening. You know, we don't manufacture things in the United States at near the rate that we did in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see Mexico really take a step up there, especially as, you know, we're even seeing Chinese companies open up shop in Mexico, which has been interesting.
Which is pretty bizarre,
yeah,
I think.
But it's closer to the United States, so the transport cost is less. The labor cost is a little bit more, but if the tariffs are there, there's financial reasons for them to do it. But the labor is still cheaper.
Yeah.
And so the question is, could you ever envision American citizens going across the border the other way for manufacturing jobs?
How crazy would that be? That's like the ultimate.
It's something to be cognizant of,
yeah.
You know, and because if we've made it accessible to have the American dream because we've automated all the, you know, unskilled labor, quote unquote, jobs. What are those people going to do?
Yeah,
and so that's going to be, you know, and I wish we could point to, you know, our government and say, well, the best and the brightest are working on this problem. But the cast of Dumb and Dumber are apparently, you know, running up there. So it's going to be interesting. We're just going to have to see how it plays out. But in the meantime, you know, have fun with it. Use it, you know. Maybe we'll all be living in a Ready Player One, you know, type environment, and it won't matter. But
yeah, it's going to be pretty bizarre. It's funny because then you kind of think back, like with say our grandparents and stuff like that. It's like, what were their concerns about the future?
Oh yeah.
And it's like, have we made it there? Have we reached the point of their concerns? Does that make sense? So all the things they would have fretted over and been like, oh, it's going this direction, this is just going to be terrible. I wonder if we've made it to any of those fears. Surely, probably.
I'm sure some level of it, you know, and there are some people starting to say that the next generation will be the first generation in America that takes a step back from the growth that we've had. But I mean, gosh, we're still so much better off than we were back then.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But I always think about that, like, with music, too. You know, I'm playing songs on the radio now for Henry from the 60s and 70s that were protest and taboo and, oh, you can't play that on the radio.
Right.
It's got a swear word in it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, you compare it to music that comes out now and you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, I used to think that we had hit a point like with, heavy metal. Well, you're never going to get more aggressive than that. And then now you've got, you know, just extremely explicit songs on the radio and nobody blinks an eye. So maybe, it's just natural, you know, and we'll figure it out as we go, and they'll grow and do their own thing. But it is scary.
I saw a meme too of someone had posted something about how, like, the Jetsons had predicted the future or something like that. It had these screens where, and they were saying they were doing FaceTime and, like, working from home and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder if any of our current shows or movies are predicting legitimate future.
As long as it's not Handmaid's Tale, I think we're all right.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's a dystopian future type thing. Katie loves that show. She's finished all the seasons of that one. But it's one of these ones where there's an overthrow of the U.S. government, and there's only a certain portion of the population that can, you know, have children, so those people get basically enslaved.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's pretty dystopian. But... yeah, it's I'm sure there's somebody who's gotten it right.
Yeah.
But we're so much weirder now than we used to be, so, or at least the weirdness makes it out into the public.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've got a few minutes here, and I wanted to, I know when we were chatting right before this, you had talked about, you've gotten several questions in over the past couple of weeks from people. And it seems to be a little all over the map. And I wanted to let you, give you a chance to maybe pick one of those out that you want to chat about for the next couple of minutes and hopefully share that information with everyone.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times the questions that we answer really aren't ones that take a long explanation. It's just, you know, we're fighting this jargon type world.
Yeah.
You know, so... you know, one that I had recently was, is my money as safe in a credit union as it is in a bank? You know, and the answer is yes. You know, so that's not a long answer, but everybody kind of is aware of FDIC insurance, that if you put up to $250,000 per person in a bank, it's protected by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Credit unions have the same thing. It's NASD. So it's not, you don't have FDIC insurance with a credit union, but you do have insurance on your deposits. Now, there's differing reasons why credit unions and banks differ and why they do the things they do, but your money's safe there. But the person I was talking to had an absolute concern that their money was not going to be as safe because they were looking at doing a stair-stepping CD ladder, you know, with credit union, and they were worried, you know, would that be safe? So we answer questions like that all the time. I got one here recently, you know, what's a junk bond? You know, and junk bonds are called a lot of different things. You know, they can be called high yield bonds. So if somebody is looking at a fund that owns bonds, you know, we changed the terminology to high yield so it wouldn't sound so bad, right? You know, I don't want to own junk bonds. But basically what it is there's these groups out there that look at companies and say, you're a good bet, you're a bad bet. And there's differing scales. It goes AAA, which used to be the U.S. government, but now it's not. It's like AA plus. And then all the way down to C, you know, AAA, AA, single A, then you get pluses and minuses. And BBB is the last investment grade type bond. And so anything below that would be considered a junk bond or a high-yield bond. And because they are not as good of companies from a balance sheet perspective and ability to pay you back, they normally have to pay you more in interest.
Yeah.
And so that's where the term came from. No, you know, no one used to care that we called it junk bonds, right? You know, everybody kind of just knew, hey, you're taking a risk. But the average investor doesn't want to buy junk bonds, so if we call it high-yield – oh, well, that's attractive. I want high yield, you know, so.
It's so funny because that makes me think of, I'm friends with a bunch of realtors.
Right.
And no one across the board will say price reduction anymore. They say price improvement.
Yes.
And I'm like, what? It's just, that's, I get it. But it's kind of like, do you think we're stupid? I mean,
it's one of those things that, you know, until you find yourself getting caught by one of those terms where you're like, yeah. I'd never get caught by it. But then you're like, oh, I've been falling for that forever. Type thing.
It's crazy. It's like price improvement. This home's been on the market forever because it was overpriced.
Right.
So we've improved the price.
Right.
No, you reduced it because it's not moving.
Right. I like in real estate, investment opportunity, otherwise known as a, broken down,
junk.
So yeah, it's definitely, the language that we use, and you live in this world of marketing, where it's just we try to convince people of what we think they need. And when things are scary, we try to come up with differing names.
Well, in my world, especially within my friend group, my people groups, we call that term churching it up.
Churching it up.
Why you got to go church it up?
I haven't heard that one. I like that one.
It is what, it is. Don't try to put a rose on it and bow and everything. It's just, don't try to church it up.
I like that. I'm going to start saying that for people who are looking at their returns from last year. Not to church it up, but you were better than the market. And we've run into that, obviously, this year. The overall stock market was down 18 last year, tech stocks were down 33. So if I'm sitting across from the table with a client that's down 12, in theory, they should be happy. But how do you look at somebody and say, you're down 12%, be happy about that? Mm. I think I'm going to start integrating, not to church it up, but you did better than the market.
I think that'll land 50% of the time.
It's better than some.
And I feel like that's a guaranteed 50% of the time it's going to land for you. So let me know how that goes.
Probably with our more southern clients. Our people out of New York, I don't know.
They're going to be like, what?
Yeah.
I think that's some good topics there to hit on. I know we've got some other topics in the mix for next week and the week after. I know we got tax season coming up, and that's just usually miserable for everyone across America.
Yeah. Excuse our posting schedule because I'm sure it's going to be one of those ones. Yeah, we're going to record at 10 o'clock on Thursday. Oh, nope.
No.
3 o'clock on Thursday. Nope. What about Friday? Nah. Let's do it at 2 a.m. Okay, yeah, we can all get together then.
See you here at 2 a.m.
Excuse our, scheduling here, April 15th.
We'll try our best.
But send your tax questions in.
I was going to say that if you have tax questions, which we know every year, something's changing within the tax world typically. And of course, it's lucky for us that we have Robert on staff, who's usually pretty up to speed on all that and can be a great reference for us. But send in those questions to connect@AFIadvisors.com, and we'd be happy to either directly connect with you to answer those, or we can discuss it here.
Yeah. It's more fun to talk about it
because, like Peter always said, if someone has a question, usually several other people are thinking the exact same thing. So you got to be that one to, what do you say, raise your hand. And just go for it.
Might as well.
And to let people know,
you may never see us in person.
This is so funny. I'm glad you said it like that. So last week, my friend Tommy came here.
Okay.
You did miss it, even though we came to your office twice and you were just nowhere to be found. He came here to get some koozies because we have koozies now.
Oh, that's right. They look good.
Bullseye Podcast koozies. Let us know if you want one. I'll get you one. But that's not the story.
Yeah. Send in a question. We'll mail you a koozie.
Yeah, there you go. As simple as that. But so Tommy came in and he was here with me and Brian.
Okay.
He chatted for a while. And then later, I think it was a day or so later, Tommy had said, you know what? Brian didn't look like what I thought he'd look like. Because he had never met him. He'd only heard him on the podcast.
Right.
He'd only heard his voice.
Yeah.
So that's instantly what I thought about whenever you said the whole meeting thing. It was just so funny. And I was like,
I look much worse in person. I'm going with that.
I was like, well, what did you think he was going to look like? And then I won't do that to Brian because he's not here to defend himself.
I'm trying to think what I would think. You know, it's hard to do that when you know what people look like. But yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, if you want a koozie, let us know. Send in a question. Email us, and I'll be happy to get you one. I tested mine out all weekend. I love it. It's great.
Works well.
Works in bottles and different types of cans. It's just what you need.
Yeah.
Make a good Christmas gift or stocking stuffer.
Put it in an Easter basket after the bunny has come by and dropped it off.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Cadbury egg season.
Oh, don't get me started on that. Everyone go follow us on all of our social channels and look at the website. It's AFIadvisors.com. But we got to get out of here. Peter's got a job to do, and I've got some editing. So, Peter, thank you, and we'll see you next week.
See you.